Good morning. It's good to be with you again. It's always a blessing coming and being a part of this church. Love coming. My wife and I feel like we're family every time we come because we know so many of you. And it's probably been like probably a year, probably to date, that since we've been back. And it's just always a pleasure to come. We love being with you. And I really feel like I've been tossing around two topics when I was preparing to speak to you. And it sort of became apparent to me that one of the topics that I was thinking of doing was the one that I feel God has directed me to speak about this morning. Primarily because a lot of changes have happened since I've last seen you. A lot of good things have happened since we've last seen you. And I'm just here to encourage you. It's a message of encouragement this morning as we walk our daily lives and the future of what God has here for Sweets. There was a mother who invited some people to dinner one evening. And at the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and she said, "Honey, why don't you give the blessing today over our meal?" And the little girl said, "Mommy, I don't know really what to say." And she said, "Well, just repeat what mommy has said." And she goes, "Okay, I can do that." So the little girl bowed her head and with sincerity in her voice, she said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to my home tonight?" Not the prayer you want to have coming from your daughter at a meal. And but growing up, the news companies coming was almost a trigger within our family. We knew that people were coming. It was a signal to prepare. And we knew that the kids had to clean their rooms. Mom would start baking. And we'd have the sense of anticipation of someone's coming to the house and we're getting prepared for that. If you know anything about Julie and I, we love to entertain. We love to have people over. And when we were when our kids were younger, our door in our house was like a revolving door of youth coming in and coming out and eating us out of house and home and looking forward to, hopefully Julie's made some of her favorite gingerbread cookies and to snack on. But the whole sense of companies coming spilled over to my kids, even till today. My daughter who lives in Woodstock with her husband and the way she now invites people over and prepares her home, and my kids, two of my kids were still home with us. That whole sense of companies coming or make room was pretty apparent in our home. And I really want to speak from that heart this morning about making room, because I believe God has a word for you this morning about making room. You've already done that with going to two services, but the best is yet to come for this church. I firmly believe that in my heart. And I'd like to spend a few moments this morning speaking from the Old Testament, because this whole phrase of making room and companies coming rings truth for the church today, because we're family. This is the house of God. We're family, and this is our time together. I'm your brother, and you're my sister and brothers, and this is the house of God. So I love speaking from the Old Testament. It doesn't always happen in a lot of sermons that I preach, but this one in particular, because of the topic that I want to speak on this morning. And we're going to focus on Genesis chapter 18 and 19, mostly 18, but a little bit of history, a familiar story for some of you, for God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But we're not focusing on that. We're talking about the chapter before in chapter 18, because there's a lot that took place that sometimes get overlooked in the scripture. We focus on Sodom and Gomorrah, but we forget what happened previous to that. And learning from the area of making room and the power of hospitality, that's something your church does very, very well. But I've learned over the years, and I've always lived by the principle, the more you know, the more you don't know. So you're always constantly learning. And I've always told my kids, like, stay teachable, because I don't care if you're 8 or 80, there's things you can always learn. So I'm hoping that from the encouragement to you this morning, you will take something away that will help you to elevate the area of the power of hospitality and making room, because you're going to need it for the years to come. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 2, it says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without even knowing it. And some Bible scholars will sort of equate this scripture back to Genesis chapter 18 when these three strangers came to Abraham's home. And well, let me go ahead and read this scripture to you from Genesis chapter 18. The scripture should be behind me. It says this: the Lord appeared to Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran. Watch this word and how many times ran is used, or hurried, or there's some type of urgency because of these three men coming. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if I found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me give you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." And they said, "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread." Abraham ran to the herd and got it. So you can tell there's a sense of urgency as things are happening. He wants everything to be well for these people. So Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk, as well as the calf that he had prepared, and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. It's a beautiful portion of scripture, and we'll get to the other parts of this particular, the verses. But Eastern cultures value hospitality as a primary virtue. And as we can see here, Abraham has opened up his home to these three strangers, setting a table for them and doing what he knew was right to do. And I think that we can learn something from Abraham's actions through this. And we can learn something here at Sweets on what you can do as visitors will come to your door over these next few years and to elevate your area of hospitality. There's six areas I want us to look at this morning that show hospitality and the power it has within the church. So if you're taking notes, which I always encourage, because 45 minutes from now, you're going to forget every word I said. However, at our band rehearsal this past Tuesday, I was so impressed because two of the band members said, "Yeah, I really enjoyed your sermon from last year." I'm like, "From last year? You remember my sermon from last year?" They go, "Yeah, the one on shame off you." I went, "You're right. You have impressed me. This is amazing." And so take notes, learn from this morning. I'll give you six different things we can learn. So number one, Abraham made his guests feel welcome. And we see this in verses 2 and 3. See, hospitality, church, involves more than just a handshake or a welcome as people come through the door. I mean, it starts there, but it certainly doesn't end there. And Abraham set his guests above himself. The scripture says he bowed himself to the earth and urged them to remain. So he greeted these strangers who came to his house and literally became what Jesus would want him to become, and that was a servant to all. We see this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, when it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." And that's exactly what God wants of us today. He wants us to become like Jesus, to become servants. And so making your guests here at Sweets feel welcome, it takes more than simply just a hello or a welcome them into the building. You need to be looking from the parking lot to the door, to the sanctuary, to the downstairs, and notice people who come through your doors for the very first time. To practice the heart of hospitality means we are conscious of all these things that are happening around us. I'm reading a book. It's called Welcome. It's actually an incredible book because we at Evangel are trying to become better at this as well, because our church is growing. In the past year and a half, we had to go to two services this past September, and we're running over 400 people now, which just blows our minds. And so we want to become better as visitors are continuing to come and seeking out a church. But in this book, I was reading a welcome liturgy that the church uses every single time in their service. Now, it may seem mundane to those who come every single Sunday, but for that first person that's walked into those doors, this is what they say at the beginning of their service, and it's beautiful. It says, "To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens wide her doors with a welcome from Jesus himself, the friend of sinners." What a beautiful thing to be said to those people who are coming in, because we have no idea what they're coming in with and how that statement would impact their lives. And we see here, even in the word hospitality, you can sort of pull out the word hospital. Not too sure why I didn't notice that before, but if you take the word hospitality, the word hospital could be extracted from that. And the root of both is in the Latin means hospice, meaning one who provides lodging or entertainment for a guest or a visitor. Hospitals, as we know, provide hospitality to the sick so that they might become healthy and whole. I've always said that the church, like the sanctuary, isn't for saints. It's the hospital for sinners. People come looking for this. And I'm reminded of the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus comes to visit and Martha invites Jesus into the home, and being the good hostess she is, she's preparing the meal. She wants to make the best of the best. But where's Mary? She finds Mary at the feet of Jesus, resting at the feet of Jesus, talking to Jesus. And Martha's offended of what she's doing. And yet it's exactly what Jesus wanted from both of them. So instead of preparing the meal, to be resting at the feet of Jesus, do we view our church gatherings as a place to receive or a place to give? And Jesus loved what Mary was doing. Martha was so busy serving Jesus that she neglected to be with Jesus. Sometimes we can be so busy serving the God of the ministry, but forgetting to rest at the feet of Jesus while serving him. The church should be a place where all who come feel welcome and not withdrawn. So Abraham made his guests feel welcome. And number two, he refreshed them by washing their feet. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, John marked this as the full display of his love. And we can read that in John chapter 13, verse 1. And he commands the same of us today. Now, I know that some churches will look at this as part of the ordinances, like baptism and communion. So I've asked the ushers if they would, can you bring the basins with up here, the front with the water and the towels, and we can lay them up here. I'm just kidding. No feet washing services today. But it is an ordinance, but there is a particular reason and something to learn from that, because it's a refreshing of the souls. And think about this. In that country, you know, they didn't have shoes like we have today. I mean, I guess they do, but back then they didn't. It was sandals. They wore sandals. And so they'd be walking on their journey with cracked feet, with hot feet, with blisters on their feet. And to have that opportunity where someone washes your feet, washes off the dirt, sort of soothes and brings healing to their feet. It's an opportunity to heal. And what a better way of knowing this and for our guests to experience this by through the power and the presence of God that resides in our services every single Sunday. 1 Corinthians, the latter portion of 1 Corinthians 14, 25 says they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, "God is in this place. He is really among you." And I don't have time to unpack all that verses 24 and 25 have to say, but the point is pretty clear, church. And that is, those people who come into your church for the first time, those unchurched visitors, to experience the presence of God would be so soothing and refreshing that they would be exclaiming, "God is in this house. God is in this place." Worship services are not showrooms for church shoppers. They're appointments with the living God. This should be a place of healing. This should be a place of comfort. This should be a place of refuge. So when people come into your church, Sweets, you're offering them an opportunity to what? To heal, to be soothed. And one way to provide that is to ensure the environment here is receptive and inviting. Third thing is, Abraham offered them rest and gave them the best seat in the house. My pastor back at Evangel, when he preaches, and sometimes he can preach a pretty strong word because sometimes we need that. He'd always say to us, did you bring your steel-toed boots with you this morning? Because sometimes he knows that the word he's going to bring might rub people wrong in some cases, but it's conviction and what God wants to do in our hearts. So hear what I'm saying this morning. He offered them the rest and gave them the best seat in the house. Abraham asked them to rest themselves under the tree. That's what he said. And here it was in the heat of the day. And so where would the coolest place be in the heat of the day? It would be under that tree, in the shade, and to relax. So when visitors come here, chances are good that they've come to find rest. They're looking for something because every single day they're facing battles. And we don't know what those battles are. I don't know what battles you face. And this could pertain to anybody in the church. We're facing battles every single day because life is hard, folks. So when people come through these doors, they're looking for some type of sanctuary, some type of healing from the rest of the world, the battles that they're fighting, freedom from office politics, freedom from angry neighbors, rest from temptation, rest from the battlefields. So whatever the problem might be that you might have or somebody walking into this church, we need to be sensitive to the people around us, to the needs that they have, that we offer them this rest and this security. They need to meet Jesus. And I was thinking about this in the first service that sometimes people come in, he offered them the best seat in the house. At times, people may come in and they may sit in your seat, maybe even your seat. But I don't see names carved on these pew benches at all. But how easily offended we come when someone's sitting in our seat. Someone's sharing with me in first service that, because yeah, I do, we have our seats because it helps us with our kids and there's a wall there so we can sort of block them so they can't go anywhere else because there's a wall there and here's the end of the pew, you know? And I thought, okay, fair, I get that. But just remember, offer them the best seats in the house. So having made them feel welcome, refreshed, and offering rest and a good seat, Abraham had cared for their immediate needs. And I love this. So point number four is he energized them for the road ahead. The scripture says in verses 5 and 8, and pay close attention to this phrase, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Abraham wanted to prepare them for the road that was ahead of them. And when you look into scripture, and we'll break this down, this wasn't some like tomato soup, grilled cheese sandwich type preparation, because it was very specific what Abraham speaks to his wife. And he tells Sarah to go and grab this three measures. I didn't know what three measures meant. So I broke it down for you the best that I can. I'm not a baker, but listen to this. Three measures. It's a ridiculous amount of flour. The fact that she had it on hand is pretty astounding. So translating this into kitchen measurements, this is what it turns out to be. 1.125 bushels is 144 cups of flour. Presuming we use a common recipe for basic white bread that uses about 5.5 cups of flour, 144 cups is enough to make 26 batches of bread of 2 loaves each, giving about 52 loaves of bread each weighing about a pound and a half. Like, think about this. This is what she's preparing for these three men. Like, guys, I know we love to eat, but like 52 loaves of bread for their journey. But let's just take it a step further. If we're frugal but not stingy, you can get about 16 slices out of a loaf. So that's 832 slices of bread, which is enough for 416 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But let me take it further. If it was available, it would take 33 jars of jam and 64 jars of peanut butter to make that happen, folks. We're talking a lot of sandwiches that Abraham had Sarah prepare for them. It's astounding. And not just that, then he goes and he sends out his servant, grabs a calf, the best of the best. I'm talking like Angus beef calf, to them, had it cooked and gave it to them. The point is this. He went over and beyond the call because he saw the importance of blessing these three visitors who have come to his doors. He was preparing them for the long haul, for this journey ahead. Now, I'm not saying that we had to prepare, you know, potlucks every Sunday. However, you do Soup Sunday, which I'm looking forward to as soon as I'm done this sermon. But you've already stepped up the game because a lot of churches don't do that. It's something you've adapted for your church, which I think is absolutely beautiful. But taking it a step further, food doesn't naturally have to come through just eating food, but the word of God and feasting on his word, feasting on the word. That food will prepare somebody for their journey each and every day of the week. Your pastor who speaks to you Sunday after Sunday and feeds you the living, active word of God that prepares you for your journey. We can create the conditions for good and great things to happen anytime, any place. Hospitality creates environments for people and dreams to flourish. And I messaged Wes while he was on his trip to the Philippines because I wanted to know a little bit about some history of the church. And the more I learned, the more I got excited for this church. First of all, here is a church that has been saving money and trying to get a building built over the past 7 years across the road for the property that you have, and hiccup after hiccup after hiccup, not knowing why you cannot build. Well, that's why we serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. And from what I hear, it was 100% vote on this beautiful piece of land that God ordained and set aside for this church for this time. The campground is just behind us. Never been there. But when I heard that, my heart leapt and thought, oh my Lord, this is amazing. Like, this is opportunities because you can only go so much, so far at a place this size. But what God has for you, sweets, and what God wants to do in your community, I just talked to another lady who told me that her and her husband come an hour away to this church. When you have a church that's giving something, when you have a church that's blessing your community, it doesn't matter what the distance is. We drove 40 minutes to go to Hamilton to a church because God is preparing and knew from the beginning what he wanted to do through Wes, through this church. But let's take it a step further. Wes told me that this church started in 1877 when a pastor from Niagara Falls came and preached 39 sermons. As a result, 45 people were baptized and about 15 others joined from the area, making a total of 60 members. And then close to 20 years ago, I don't know if you knew this, I didn't know this, but I thought this is beautiful, rich history that you need to know. Close to 20 years ago, your church experienced growth again. And what happened? They took members and they planted Kingsway Church. As of 2025, you have 340 members that are part of the birthing of Sweets Corner. I'm telling you, if that doesn't make you excited for what God wants to do and work, I don't know what will. Because there are greater things ahead for this church and what God, it was ordained for you not to get that property because God had that property to build on that property, but he had that property set aside as an assignment for you as a church to reach the communities around you. That's why God is saying, make room, because company's coming. Company is coming, and you'll have to expand your tent pegs and be even better at what you already are good at here at Suites already. And for me, folks, that is so exciting. Point number five, Abraham stood ready and waiting for an opportunity to serve him, to serve them. I remember when Julie and I, the church that we're in now, we've been there for 10 years now, and our first church service, when we went there, we were looking for a church, not for us, actually. It was for our kids. We wanted to get them into a church that was solid. And I remember sitting in the middle of the church, two pews in from the back. And after service, a couple, I didn't know them. It was our first time. They walked up to us and said, listen, we see you're new, and we'd love to take you and your family out for lunch. I have never forgotten that. It impressed me so much that this couple who didn't know us at all was willing to take the time to get to know us and in an investment to us. Unfortunately, we had to go to a funeral that afternoon, so we weren't able to go, but it never stuck. But guess what did stick? The fact that we're there 10 years later. Because when you make an impact like that on someone's life, it will stick forever and ever and ever. They stood ready and waiting for an opportunity to serve us. Blew my mind. Number six, and my last point, he saw them as they came. And Dan, you can come on up here with me. Now, note carefully that in verse one, Abraham is sitting there. That's what it says. He's sitting there, but he lifted up his eyes and looked, and he beheld three men who were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran. There was such an, through this whole scripture, all I saw was urgency, urgency, urgency. Got to get this done. This is important. I see the urgency, ran. Poor Sarah, he said, quickly, make 52 loaves of bread. How long that could, I mean, every woman is like, nope, not in your life. Yeah, exactly, right? And, but Sarah knew there was something happening, and she was trusting Abraham in the process. Like Abraham, church, we need to look. Now, you're small now, so it's easy to recognize someone who's visiting, and I'm sorry if you're visiting this morning. This certainly is not to embarrass you, but, or maybe you've been here for only a few weeks. But you have the opportunity to look now, because when you grow, and you will grow, because if God is saying make room, which you are doing, you're making room, there's some beautiful things going to happen. And God's going to do something extraordinary that you don't even see right now. And we have to remember that you wouldn't be here and if someone noticed you, right? You wouldn't be here. Maybe it's a family member that invited you. You're here because someone noticed you. You took the time to make you feel comfortable by connecting with you. So for every guest that comes in this place, and I hope you feel this way, but for every guest that walks through your doors over the next couple of years, if I understand correctly, you're going to do like outdoor services come this summer out in the campground. I can't wait. I want to come and see what God is doing and how he's expanding. You have an opportunity to make the most powerful connection to people around you so that they feel confident, safe, satisfied, accepted, hopeful, acknowledged, empowered, educated, pleased, comfortable, excited, interested, valued, relaxed, welcomed, familiar, included, refreshed, challenged, secure, and delighted. And let's extend this further. Whether you've been at this church for 10 years or 10 minutes, that's how everybody should feel in this congregation. But it doesn't stop there. And this is what made my heart leap In Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, the three strangers said to Abraham, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" Oh, dumb question. She's been in the kitchen baking for you guys for how long now? But they asked the question anyways. And Abraham said, "They're in the tent." And then one of them said this, "I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Man, I get goosebumps just thinking about that, because a prophetic word was spoken over an aged woman who probably lost her mind thinking she is going to give birth to a son a year from now. But let's look past all that and get to the fact that this blessing was a birthing for them. And that's how I see this church, is the blessing that has been spoken over. If God didn't want you to have that campground, you wouldn't have had that campground. It was set aside for a time such as this. And the birthing process is beginning because God has blessed this church. You have a part to play in the history of Sweet's Corner. So that 20 years from now, when this tabernacle that's over there is built and reconstructed or whatever, the impact that you have the opportunity to play in is going to be absolutely magnificent. And that's what you need to see. You may not see it now. That is just the beginning of the birthing of the blessing God has done in this church under the great direction of your elders and board and Pastor Wes. So, folks, I want you to walk away this morning feeling encouraged, trying to help you see a little further beyond what you do here and what God has in store for you and the impact that's going to be felt like a tsunami wave through this entire region. Oh, Pastor Ken, you're talking. No. That's the God we serve. That's who he is. It's the way he moves. People are looking for hope. They're looking for peace. And you got it right here. And now you get to take that to your Jerusalem and touch the lives of people. So this is what I want to do. I want us to stand. And I want us to end with this song. When I was preparing this message, this song kept rattling over and over in my brain. And you know the song. They told me you know the song. And it's gratitude. Because the Bible says that we are to come into his presence with what? Sorry? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. So if God wants us to come into his presence with thanksgiving, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to take, 5 minutes to do that, to sing this song. And I want you to sing it with sincerity. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to get into the heart of this song and begin to thank him for what he's going to do. He's already done great things, but what he's going to do in this church and through your lives. So take this chorus with me, sing it with me, and let's just give God praise in this place for what he's done and what he's going to do. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, Come on, sing it again. So I throw up my hands. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for it. 'Cause I'm in. Hallelujah. on, my soul. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, sing it one more time. Oh, yes, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, it's nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. And God, we've done that this morning. We've thrown up our hands because it's an act of surrender to you. So much to be thankful for. Hearts filled with gratitude. Because God, even though we can't see beyond what we see right now, you are already in tomorrow. You are already in next week. You are already in next year, preparing the way for this journey this church is going to take. Preparing them, God, with food that will continue to strengthen them. And I pray, God, that they would take these words and brand it on their hearts. So that, God, as you unfold the plan and you begin to show the beauty of what you're going to do, they will look back at this message and remember the power of hospitality and making room for the company that's coming. And for that, God, we give you praise. And for that, God, we give you glory. And for that, God, we honor you in this place. And we ask it in your name. Amen.